We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
Welcome to the BCP podcast. I am James, aka BCP, Black Conservative Patriot. Please receive a big warm embrace and hug from me to you. A few weeks ago, I had the great Lieutenant General Michael Flynn on the show. I've been a fan of Michael Flynn, General Flynn, for years now, ever since he sat in that congressional hearing and exposed Obama for the liar he was and is when it came to ISIS and what was really going on in the Middle East. I've had tremendous respect for him since then, was tickled pink when President Trump made him his national security advisor, and was very saddened when we saw the true nature of Vice President Mike Pence when he was part of the machine that got him booted out of the Trump administration. I supported Mike Flynn monetarily when he was going through all those lawfare attacks. We gave money to his legal fund. And I've just been a fan of his for, I guess, over 10 years now, more or less. And I was tickled pink, if you're new around these parts, to find out late last year after a couple meetings face-to-face with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn that he's actually a fan of this show. He knows who I am. He saw me, grabbed me, and said, "Hey, James, I love your show," when we first met. And that obviously was a great confidence booster, to say the least. Had him on the show a few weeks ago, and he talked about what we can do as American citizens to do our part to save our great republic, the United States of America. Well, it looks like he was on Benny Johnson's show either yesterday or today, but I'm seeing this today on the interwebs on Twitter. And I asked him, what can we do, you know, going into this election year? But he didn't shy away from the fact or the idea that the deep state knows that Joe Biden can't steal the election again, even though they have an extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization and operation. They can't do it in 2024. So they're going to have to do a huge event, a black swan event, so that we don't even have an election. Sounds crazy? Well, let me play you what Mike Flynn, Lieutenant Flynn, excuse me, said. I don't want to disrespect Lieutenant General Mike Flynn. Let me show you what he said to Benny Johnson. And let me remind you that this is a man that knows military intelligence. He knows cyber warfare. He knows the new operations and the new generation of warfare that's being fought behind the scenes and in front of us nationwide. And what he says is sobering indeed. Let's get into this.
But one, mark my words, these are everything that you just talked about and the things that I'm going to talk about here in this movie shortly. I mean, these are all knowable things. Okay, these are things that we know. These are the things that we can imagine. What these people are going to try to come up with, Benny, and this is for your audience and for any your ability to influence, they're going to try to come up with things that are unknowable. And, you know, and in the world of military operations or even in the, you know, in the world of just things, we call them black swan events, right? Black swan events are things that nobody imagined could occur, and yet they did, right? And then they have these incredibly, you know, mostly devastating effects.
We saw that in 2020, a virus coming out of Wuhan, China, shuts the world down, and they're able to steal the election more easy with mail-in ballot voting, not verifying signatures, and stopping the count to flood fake ballots for Joe Biden. They went through a huge trouble of unleashing this sickness and then overblowing the sickness so that people would be scared and fall into compliance, and therefore they were able to steal the election. That was a black swan event, and they're going to do it again in 2024. according to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who doesn't back down on his analysis.
So I think that that's what we have got to be thinking about. And I think as we talk to our audiences and we look for feedback from different people, all of these things, and then we have to be prepared on our side. We have to be prepared to immediately respond to these scenarios, right? Like, I think a scenario is these people just decide, look, there's no way in the world that they can win a legitimate fair election, so let's not have one. So in order to not have one, how do they create the conditions in order to not have an election? Now, that's a scenario. It's not a scenario that I want to have as an outcome, but I definitely, that is a scenario that I can imagine.
General Flynn, who is a master of military intelligence, was the highest leader in military intelligence during Obama, knows that there is a scenario that they're planning. I mean, this is intelligence, counterintelligence. There is a plan, a scheme. There is a plot. There is a plan B, C, D, E, F, G to stop the elections this year. This is a scary thought. And Lieutenant General Flynn goes on to say he's a good guy and he can imagine that there are plots, that they are and machinations that are in the works right now. Imagine what the evil people are scheming up. Now, he doesn't go into too much detail, but one of the things that he does hint at is some sort of economic black swan. Perhaps with this push by central banks for digital currency.
And so how would that work, General?
Yeah. Well,
are you predicting a black swan event before the election that would stop the election?
I am predicting some type of an event that will cause such a dramatic shift in what is happening. I mean, we already are talking about an economic collapse, right? Because all the central bank digital currency craze that's going on right now and the manipulation of the global economy and certainly the U.S. economy. So we know about that. That's not a black swan event. But how do you achieve it? What is the proverbial straw, right? That's pulled out of the camel or whatever that causes that.
I can't imagine what that scenario would look like as far as leading to no election, but it could be on the financial side, something worse than the depression, than the stock crash. It could be, since the Marxists are all on the same page, whether they're in China, Venezuela, Cuba, or the United States, maybe it's a cyber attack on our monetary system, on our banking system. Can you imagine the havoc of everyone having their money in the bank and all of a sudden they can't draw money out of their ATM, their debit cards don't work, they can't order stuff from Amazon? That would be an easy way to starve people. How many people have cash or gold or silver or something tradable for food and other goods? And then, of course, they could say we're under a cyber attack and therefore we can't hold the elections because, you know, Russia is going to influence it. Perhaps it could be war. Perhaps it could be a dirty bomb.
So there has to be. And the fact that I can think about these things, because my world has always been the world of thinking about how our enemies are thinking. And so if I can think these things, then they certainly can, because I don't assess myself as some evil, you know, genius, but I studied enough of our enemies, and that includes both domestic and foreign now, especially now. So that's where I'm coming from.
It's a very scary thought, folks, that because of our porous border, we have terrorists within the United States borders. Now, I say within the United States borders, interestingly enough, I'm currently in the Middle East. I'm currently in Dubai, in the UAE. We have Chinese spies within the American borders. We have Venezuelans that do not have good intentions for our country. And of course, we have FBI operatives. You think Ray Epps is the only one? They've got a lot of different things they can do. And don't forget, a whole bunch of unvetted people came when they did that FUBAR withdrawal from Afghanistan. It's absolutely nuts. Since I mentioned it, let me tell you something real quick. You can fast forward a minute or two if you don't want to hear the personal stuff. But on Friday is our anniversary of the missus and myself. Our original plan was to be in Europe and then Southern Europe for our anniversary. Now, I somehow threw out my back or got some really weird thing that happened. I started having all these shoulder pain and this like neuropathy pains, almost like carpal tunnel down to my hand. And interestingly enough, one of my nephews, a doctor, had studied with this neurologist here in Dubai. And I started to feel that my condition of my arm and shoulder was worse in cold weather. We had been in very cold, you know, relatively cold places. We were in Hungary, we were in Albania, we were in Romania. And I mean, it wasn't freezing cold, but it was not warm. And that seemed to worsen the things. Well, in Romania, we saw that there was literally a $140 flight to Dubai. And I knew about this doctor here in Dubai who is an expert in neuropathy. And I said, hey, let's just go to Dubai. And we haven't been to Dubai before, enjoy Dubai, see the doctor. And since we've been here, I'm like at 90% since getting treatment here. I have another follow-up appointment early next week, and then we'll be moving on. So I'll be here in Dubai for a little bit longer, even past that that appointment. Anyway, that's just to fill you guys in on my current location before moving on. So a black swan event is something that we can expect. Now, what's very interesting is in this interview or this segment he had with Benny Johnson, he's promoting his new film coming out called Flynn, the man who's talks about truth. And in this film, he's going to expose Obama, but he's also going to expose people within the former Trump administration. And he says this, and I think this is a good segue to my next news story. He says this about the status quo Republican Party in D.C.
People in our own uniparty establishment want to, they want to keep things as is. They love the as is world of Washington, D.C. And if we continue to, down this path of as is, Washington, D.C., things normal, we're not going to have a country here after if we have a free and fair election, which, number one, I don't think we're going to have a fair election. I want to believe, probably more of me believes that we're going to have an election, Benny, but fair is in the eye of the beholder.
Even if President Trump wins, we know they're going to try to steal it. We know that we don't have voter ID laws. We know that we have, in most places, the ability to rig elections or stuff the ballot with mail-in ballots and false absentee ballots. So are we really going to have a free and fair election even if President Trump wins? Well, unless something miraculous happens in the meantime, that is a solid no. Now, I want to launch into the next story, catapulting and using as a catalyst or using as a segue what General Flynn said about the status quo, the Republican status quo. And even though he's on his way out, Mitch McConnell represents that status quo, and boy, does he want things to stay the same. Axios is reporting this, and it's not fake news because Breitbart reported on this as well. Mitch McConnell urges the Republican Party against supporting term limits. Leader Mitch McConnell reiterated to Senate Republicans that imposing term limits on the Senate leader is a bad idea during a Wednesday meeting about the direction of the conference, according to two sources in the room. Why it matters. As a longest-serving Senate party leader, McConnell's voice will carry weight as a divided conference decides whether to stick with the old guard or look for younger, more MAGA-friendly leaders. Of course, Mitch McConnell has benefited from no term limits, something that the very old guard has benefited from on both sides of the aisle, whether it's someone like a Nancy Pelosi, a Chuckie Schumer, or a Mitch McConnell. McConnell was one of the several senators who spoke during an hour and a half conference meeting, which was called by conservative Senator Ron Johnson. McConnell spoke against imposing term limits for the top GOP position, calling it a bad idea, according to two sources in the room. It's something he has opposed in the past. McConnell said term limits would weaken the leader's power to do their job and potentially hurt fundraising. The intrigue, Senator John Cornyn, who along with Senator John Thune is running to replace McConnell as leader, has said he'd support a vote for such term limits. Neither Cornyn nor Thune spoke during that meeting. So the old guard wants to be able to stay in power and leadership indefinitely. Indefinitely. Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. The uniparty swamp wants to always stay perpetually in power. This should come as no surprise. Okay, let's get to some other stories I want to cover in this episode. Since we're talking, and we have been talking, about free and fair elections, we know that the people on the left say, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy theory. 2020 was the freest and fairest election ever. It was the most safe and secure election ever. It's a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's Russian disinformation to worry about that. Well, check this out. Check this out. Gateway Pundit reporting. Leading Wisconsin Democrat Kimberly Zapata found guilty on all counts against her in voter fraud scheme involving military ballots. Isn't this interesting and juicy? In November of 2022, Representative Janelle Brangen, then chair of the Assembly on Campaigns and Elections, sent out an election fraud alert. Representative Brangen received three authentic military ballots to her home addressed to Holly, a woman who has never lived there. Brangen believed this was part of a scheme to steal votes in Wisconsin. Later that week, Wisconsin radio host Dan O'Donnell broke the news that Kimberly Zapata, the deputy director of the City of Milwaukee Election Commission, was fired for committing election fraud. There you can see Kimberly Zapata, for those of you watching the video. Oh, by the way, I've got some exciting news for the growth of this show. I have just started posting and we'll be working on having this show also be available on Twitter. So for those of you who are supported, this is a subscriber supported show. So there'll be another way that you can watch the show via subscription and support my work. Patreon, Locals, Spotify, and now we'll be on Twitter, on X as well. I'm hoping to roll that out very, very soon. Let's get back to Ms. Zapata. And oh my goodness, I guess it isn't a conspiracy theory about voter fraud. Now, is it? Milwaukee Elections Commission Director Claire Woodall-Vogg, who the Gateway Pundit has spotlighted several times for her questionable actions, says she believes that Zapata was attempting to point out that military ballots can be requested and sent out without a photo ID or even voter registration. Democrats say Zapata was trying to prove how easy it was to request fake ballots when she committed her crime. Democrats rushed in to defend her. Democrats argue that this was all a conspiracy theory, even though it worked exactly like Zapata said it would. Kimberly Zapata later lawyered up. The Thomas More Society attorneys Eric Cadral, Michael Gableman, and Representative Brangen filed a lawsuit on Friday, November 4th, 2022. Don't be fooled if you believe the story was the only instance of military voter fraud in the state. You'd be highly mistaken. All right, so let's fast forward to today, or yesterday. On Wednesday, Kimberly Zapata was found guilty on all counts against her for illegally requesting military ballots. Fox 6 News, there locally, reported. Kimberly Zapata, ballot fraud case, guilty as charged on all counts. A Milwaukee County jury has reached a verdict in the trial of Kimberly Zapata and found Zapata guilty on all counts against her. The jury started deliberations around 10:30 a.m. yesterday, and the verdict was read just before 4 p.m. Zapata is the fired Milwaukee Elections Commission deputy director accused of illegally requesting military ballots and sending them to her home, to the home of State Senator Janelle Brangen. The prosecutor in this case is about to use her position to commit fraud, while her defense attorney says she just wanted to expose loopholes in the election system. She was a whistleblower. She was showing with the truth with an action, an imperfect action, but a truthful action of what was going on. Zapata did not testify in her own defense. She was charged with election fraud. Prosecutors say in 2022 she ordered military ballots using names she made up. Zapata told investigators she was trying to prove there is fraud in our election system. She said she never intended the ballots to be processed. Yeah, sure. So Claire Woodall, the Milwaukee Election Commissioner Executive Director, testified in 2022 they received about 300 military absentee ballots. Approximately 5 to 7 of those were fraudulent. I'm sure there was more than just 5 or 7. She was very adamant about following these procedures and making sure someone wasn't unintentionally registered as a military voter. In Wisconsin, military voters do not have to show a photo ID to receive an absentee ballot. Court documents say clerks sent 3 ballots to the home of State Senator Janelle Manchin, who then reported them to the authorities. Okay, well, finally, somewhere, justice when it comes to voter fraud, election fraud, a Democrat committing a crime to show how easy it is to commit a crime. Oy vey, give me a break. These people are freaking ridiculous. All right, let's get back to the problem of our open border and miscreants, crooks, terrorists, ne'er-do-wellers, and others within our borders. This is a video that's going viral on the internet. I've seen this both on Instagram and on Twitter. And as Colin Rugg has tweeted out, TikToker is going viral by telling illegal immigrants how to invade homes in America thanks to progressive squatting laws. Remarkable. We can invade a house in the USA. And what do you think about this new law? A video from one TikTok user read. The man said he has African friends who have successfully taken over 7 homes thanks to squatting laws. And that's what he says in this video. And I'm not going to play it for you. It's in Spanish. I obviously understood everything. But he's pretty much saying, hey, look, we're going to find these homes and we're going to inhabit them. We're going to squat in them and we're going to seize them and we're going to be able to get loans on them. We're going to do things because the laws in this country allow this to happen. Now, when Colin Rugg put this up, I saw some comments going like, oh, this isn't real or whatever. This is just fake. This is just a right-wing conspiracy. But it turns out that this is guy is very well known in the Hispanic TikTok community. His name is Leonel Moreno. He is a Venezuelan, and he's actually made videos in the past about robbing, about begging, and about gaming the system as an illegal immigrant here in America. So this guy is loud and proud. He's got over 500,000 followers on TikTok alone. So if this isn't a fake, this is a guy that's been out there talking about how to take advantage of the system, proudly doing so on TikTok, knowing there's going to be no repercussions or any sort of consequence or consequences for his illegal actions and his literally going on social media and promoting lawlessness, breaking the law, or taking advantage of the ridiculous progressive laws throughout America, which make it possible for people like squatters to take over private property. Remember, communists hate private property. They want everything to be common. I saw a comment somewhere where I always call people what they are, Marxists. And some one of the comments on one of the recent videos is like, they're not, you call them Marxists, but they're communists. Well, communism, socialism, it all falls under the very evil and flawed philosophy of Karl Marx. I call them what they are, no matter what brand of commie socialism they are, they're all Marxists. I just go for the bigger umbrella to include them all. This is what happens when you have commie bastards coming from Venezuela, not to seek freedom like many Cubans do, but to just take advantage of corrupt systems. And that is what President Trump is aware of and wants to combat and do something about. He's aware of what's going on. In an exclusive he just had with Breitbart, Donald Trump is categorizing this new crime, calling it migrant crime, a new category of crime in America, thanks to Joe Biden and the Democrats. President Trump told Breitbart News that he sees a new category of crime emerging in the United States because of President Joe Biden and his fellow Democrats' policies. He calls it, quote, migrant crime. We have a new form of crime in the United States. It's called migrant crime, Trump said. Now it would be called, and normally I would call it, Biden migrant crime, but that's too long and too crazy. But everyone knows we have a new category in crime. So we have crime and we have migrant crime. It's vicious and it's horrible. And these people are very tough. Everyone talks about the migrants coming to America. Many of these people are real bad people. Many of them are sick. Many of them are mentally ill. Trump has been focusing on the plight of angels families like the family of murdered 22-year-old Georgia nursing student Lakin Riley a key facet of his campaign to return to the White House. Sadly, Riley is hardly the only instance of Americans being killed by migrants in the country unlawfully, and people who would not be otherwise hurt if the government enforced American immigration laws. Now, this is not something that President Trump is just now jumping on the bandwagon and doing because of the migrant crime due to Joe Biden. When I saw then-candidate Trump in spring of 2016 at the San Diego Convention Center, he was talking about these crimes, and he had Angel's families come up and presented their plight and their situation in San Diego, California in 2016. President Trump got in hot water in the very beginning talking about how we have a porous border and that they're not sending their best. And my wife, a Mexican, a naturalized Mexican American, she's an American citizen. She was born in Mexico, raised in Mexico, didn't move to the United States until she was 17. So she can get 1 year of schooling in and then come in as on a student visa after taking the TOEFL to study in an American university. So my wife's the real deal when it comes to being Mexican. And she was like the first one on the Trump train in our family. Not because we didn't like what Trump was saying. I was like, is Trump really running this time, or is he just like doing like he did during the Obama, just dipping his toe in the water? My wife was like, yeah, he says it how it is. And she was all for Trump from the very beginning. It's not a race thing. It's an honesty thing. Mexicans know that many criminals, obviously the cartels on the border, have been even more emboldened and more empowered under the porous border and the globalist open border agenda of, I would say, Joe Biden, but we really know it's a Joe Biden handlers and controllers like Obama, Soros, etc. So this is not new messaging from President Trump, but it definitely is timely messaging given what we're seeing here. Trump's campaign reported exclusively before his and Biden's rivaling border trips a few weeks ago released a brutal video highlighting many of the crimes, including rapes and murders, that migrants Biden let into his country have committed. Trump also, at his recent Georgia rally, immediately after becoming the last remaining GOP presidential candidate and right before he locked up a majority of the delegates to the Republican National Convention this year, met with Riley's parents. He also intends to do more events and meetings throughout the year with Angel families. The amazing thing about the border to me is I used to think, who wants an open border where the world is coming into your country, Trump said. It makes sense. I don't know if you saw that it's 61% down in crime in Venezuela. So Venezuela, all their gangs are not even just coming up. They're being bused right to our border and they're being forced in at gunpoint. We've got these Venezuelan gangs who are very tough gangs. They make our gangs look like very nice people. They're now migrants. I've watched cops get roughed up over the years and watched them get shot in cars. What I've never watched is cops having fistfights in the middle of the street. They're duking it out. They're literally fighting these kids. I've never seen that before. In their country, they'd be dead immediately if that ever happened. He also said that the crush of migrants in the country is severely hurting big cities like his previous home, New York City. What's amazing to me is I've always heard how New York and all these other places don't have any money. But all of a sudden, they're getting billions and billions of dollars to take care of this problem. They have, I guess, 500,000 migrants in New York City. By the way, these are some tough people. Well, I guess they're thinking that this $400 million fine they're trying to shove down President Trump's throat is going to be used to fund some of these leftist things in New York City. Boy, has New York City fallen so far. It is a sight to behold. President Trump is absolutely correct yet again on his analysis of the border, on his analysis of Joe Biden and the manufactured crisis of the Obama Soros crowd. Now, speaking of manufactured crises, here's a crisis that is manufactured, it seems to me, every year, at least every other year, by the fools in D.C., and that is balancing, well, they don't balance the budget, but coming up with the budget and funding the operations of our government. Here's the latest in that reoccurring crisis. Congress leaders unveil $1.2 trillion funding deal one day before shutdown deadline. Lawmakers must pass the package by 11:59 on Friday to avert a partial government shutdown. Here we are again, Savannah Halsey Pointer at the Epoch Times reporting. Following a last-minute controversy around funding for the Department of Homeland Security, congressional leaders in their early hours of March 21st unveiled a massive package to fund large portions of the government ahead of the Friday deadline to fund the government. The package, which funds half of the 12 yearly government spending bills, starts a mad dash by Congress to approve over $1 trillion in spending. The bills cover funding for the Department of Defense, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, labor, and others. Speaker Mike Johnson, in a statement, that the funding bills are a serious commitment to strengthening our national defense by moving the Pentagon towards a focus on its core mission while expanding support for our brave men and women who serve in uniform. Now, they do this every single time, right? They wait to the last minute, and then they put all their pork in, and they do it, and then they blame the Republicans. Oh, the Republicans won't pass the bill. We're not going to fund our military. There's not going to be any funding for this or that program, when they've had all damn year to do it. But they wait to the last minute so that everyone is worried, and they can cram in all of their pork bills and all this other BS stuff in there. And then people on both sides of the aisle applaud Congress and Senate for getting done what they should have done months ago. They know these deadlines are looming. There's no surprise. These keeps happening, and it's by design. I don't really want to report much more than that, because this is a fluid thing. By the time you see this, it'll be Friday, or, you know, it'll be Thursday today when you see it, but some of you won't see it till Friday, and we may have an update on that. But so far, $1.2 trillion is what we're looking at. Let's see what happens. Oh, and speaking of passing laws, this is a very interesting story out of Tennessee. The Tennessee Senate has passed a bill targeting chemtrails. SB 2691, HB 2063, sponsored by Representative Monty Fritz of Kingston, a Republican, and Senator Steve Sutherland, a Republican out of Morristown, Tennessee, passed in the Senate this week. The bill has yet to advance in the House. The bill claims it has documented the federal government or other entities acting on the federal government's behalf or at the federal government's request may conduct geoengineering experiments by intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere, and those activities may occur within the state of Tennessee, according to the bill. The legislation would ban the practice in Tennessee. The intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of the state into the atmosphere and with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited, the bill reads. It's scheduled to go to the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. And once again, let's see how if and when this passes. But I just found that to be interesting that a state is taking on the federal government and chemtrails. But of course, if you believe that the government in any way, shape, or form at the federal level acts villainously in trying to affect the climate, the border, our elections, that's all crazy right-wing conspiracy stuff, right? That's what they would have you believe. Now let's wrap up with what's going on in D.C. again. As you can see, I'm jumping back and forth here. Freedom Caucus voters actually, the Freedom Caucus actually voted to remove Ken Buck, even though he's already exiting. Talk about, slapping someone right before they exit. The House Freedom Caucus voted to remove Representative Ken Buck from the group Tuesday night. Three members of the conservative group told The Hill, a dismissal that comes days before he is set to retire from Congress. One of the Freedom Caucus members requested anonymity to discuss the internal proceedings, said the group decided to oust Buck because he has not been a member in good standing, has not regularly attended meetings of the body in months. The source also said Buck, who has frequently broken from his party on various issues, was removed because he hasn't been with conservatives on several major issues, and is leaving the conference hanging with a historically narrow margin. So he's abandoning them. Buck was informed of the group's decision Tuesday night, the source added. Buck's office declined to comment. Yeah, you don't want the guy exiting and ever say, yeah, you know, whatever he's doing next, going, I was a member of the Freedom Caucus. Because anytime he says that, they can come out and say, yeah, but we ousted him before his retirement. So we see a running theme in this episode about the dangers of these rhinos. Now let's go to the other side of the aisle, where the Democrats know that they've got a good thing in the Russian collusion hoax, and they're continuing. Democrat Representative Goldman, the GOP House is conspiring with Russia to interfere in our elections on behalf of Trump. Hey, it worked for a long time. Why should they quit now? Yesterday on CNN, Dan Goldman said that Republican lawmakers are pushing bogus debunked narratives about President Joe Biden, which he argues was essentially conspiring with Russia to interfere in our elections on behalf of Donald Trump. Goldman said, In fact, the prosecutor general in Ukraine was not prosecuting Burisma, was not prosecuting corruption. And so his removal was bad for Burisma because the next prosecutor general came in and then did investigate Burisma. Wow, talk about revisionist twist. Goldman went on to say, as we go forward, any allegations by any Congress member right now that Burisma allegations are somehow corruption is complicit with Russia today and going forward. Russia is trying to interfere. It's trying to interfere fear or interfere or introduce fear. I don't really get that. Russia is trying to use fear in our election in November for Donald Trump, just like it did in 2016. The Democrats definitely living by the idea, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. There's some people still believing in the Russian collusion hoax, and we've seen them double down on this. Absolute clowns coming out of DC. And I want to end with these last two news stories. As it said here at the end of this article, they're doing this like they did in 2016. Well, there'll be a couple different changes in 2016. For instance, when President Trump finally announces his vice presidential running mate, it won't be Mike Pence. Mike Pence, who said he will not endorse Trump. And this is what Trump had to say about that.
What's your reaction to Vice President Pence saying that he can't
endorse him? Oh, I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less. We need patriots. We need strong people in our country. Our country's going downhill very fast, very rapidly. Millions of people coming across the border, coming from jails, from prisons, coming from mental institutions and insane asylums, terrorists. We need strong people in this country. We don't need weak people.
Kellyanne Conway is urging Trump to pick a person of color as VP and predicts monster gains among Hispanics. Kellyanne Conway, a contributor to Fox News, predicted that President Trump would make monster gains in support from Hispanic voters in November and urged him to choose a person of color for his running mate. During a segment on Fox's Outnumbered, the Fox panel attacked Joe Biden for his attempts to court Latinos, calling him a panderer. According to a February New York Times Siena College poll, Trump leads Biden by 6 points among Latino voters. In the 2020 election, Biden supposedly defeated Trump in the country's Latino vote. He probably did. But the Republican candidate was on the verge of securing the majority in several crucial states, including Florida. Conway asserted that the wave of migrants entering the country from the South and the COVID-19 lockdown will assist in swinging more Hispanic voters to Trump in 2024. Then the former employee of Trump's White House encouraged her former employer to select a person of color as his running mate.
Hispanics to stand behind Joe Biden in the Mexican restaurant that he had the mural behind him of stereotypical people. Look, every way you look at it, Hispanics have so many reasons to dump Biden Harris. The main one is the border. How cynical of an entire Democratic Party to believe that in the 9 years since Donald Trump elevated into the international consciousness his view on illegal immigration, build the wall, be fair to the people here, America first. 9 years later, the Democrats still think that attacking Donald Trump on the border is going to get them Hispanic vote. Hispanics are also upset that they are hostile to religion, mm-hmm. that they masked up their kids and kept them home for the better part of 2 school years, the economic upward mobility that is being lost to them. So I think Donald Trump's going to have monster gains among Hispanics, and I think it's part of why he should pick a person of color as his VP.
Trump has said, and many studies have concluded, that the VP pick doesn't really matter. For instance, we can see fairly recently, like, did you vote for President Trump because Mike Pence was on the ticket? Perhaps a few evangelicals and Christians may have been swayed to do that. But many of us Christians were with Trump regardless of Mike Pence coming on the ticket. Did having Sarah Palin, the Alaskan governor, help no-name traitor McCain? Did Geraldine Ferraro help back in the day? I mean, it doesn't seem to really matter who the VP pick is. And even though I'm not against President Trump having a person of color as his running mate, it would seem like pandering to a lot of people. But there are some good people. I mean, some people want to see Ben Carson. Ben Carson was never my guy for president because he's very smart, very honorable, very good guy. But he doesn't have that fighting spirit of a Trump. We need someone who's a fighter. So if we did have a black or Hispanic person or a woman, it would be good to have a fighter who in there who is MAGA and America First. but they shouldn't be in that position once again to tick off a box that they are a person of color. That being said, there are quite a few good people that he could have as his vice presidential pick, including yours truly. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was just a joke, folks. Just kidding. I have absolutely zero desire to serve in an elected position. Thanks for being here, folks. Thank you once again for your support. This is a subscriber-supported show. So please continue with your subscription and I'll continue bringing you the news. I will be taking a break tomorrow. Tomorrow is my anniversary. So once again, there might be a slight pause, but I'll be back hitting it again, bringing you the news in just a few days. Until then, ciao, goodbye, big hug. And I'm coming from a city, and that's probably why you're hearing the background noises, some beeping, some buzzing, and some horns. And if you listen closely a couple times, there's probably Ferraris and Lamborghinis. It is really true that here in Dubai, there's quite a few exotic cars, and they like to be loud. And I am dozens of stories high, and still you can hear the street below. Until the next one, ciao, goodbye, God bless. Oh, 27 years for those wondering which anniversary this is. I truly have been a blessed man. And it started with being not aborted, even though people try to pressure my mother and father, who were a young family, into aborting me. Second was being born to parents that are great and goodly parents that taught me the correct principles and taught me about Christ. And then another great thing that happened to me was being born in the United States of America. And my life has been a fairy tale ever since then. Doesn't matter the ups and downs. Doesn't matter that I've had businesses go up and go down. Doesn't matter that we've had sicknesses, that we've had challenges. Everyone has these challenges. But I feel so blessed to have my soulmate, a chaste Christian woman, by my side to fight these battles the last 27 years. I wish everyone could have my level of happiness by having such a great spouse.
We're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this. We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.